Bueller. Good morning. Let's pray before we begin. Heavenly Father, we thank you for this morning, God, and we come to your word and we ask for open hearts to receive what it is you're saying to us today, God. Lord, may we treat your word as precious, God, and may we take inspiration from your word and allow it to transform us, God. We worship you, we love you, pray these things in Jesus' name. Amen. Let's turn to 2 Corinthians chapter 2, and we'll read verses 12 to 14. Now when I came to Troas for the gospel of Christ, and when a door was opened for me in the Lord, I had no rest for my spirit, not finding Titus my brother. But taking my leave of them, I went on to Macedonia. But thanks be to God, who always leads us in triumph in Christ, and manifests through us the sweet aroma of the knowledge of him in every place. Amen. It's a little bit of a side note, but notice verse 14. It really seems like Romans 8:28. We will know that God works all things together for good for the ones who love him. That's a little tidbit. Okay, so Paul in verse 12 starts to detail his journey to the Corinthians. So he's moved on from kind of teaching the Corinthians about certain issues that they have, and he's giving them a missionary report. He's like, okay, now that I've done kind of going on a tangent to teach you about, you know, about what happened between us and how I feel and how you guys are responding, now let me tell you about my missionary journey. And so he's telling them how he went to Troas. For those who don't know, Troas is on the west coast of modern-day Turkey. So imagine you're looking towards a map of Turkey. So this is Turkey, and then the Aegean Sea is right here, and this is Greece. Ephesus is right here on the south, sort of closer to the southwest point of that rectangular part of Turkey. And Troas is on the west coast, up further north, closer to the Black Sea. You guys can look in the maps of your Bible or look online. Anyways, so that's Troas, okay? And so he's telling them, I went up to Troas instead of coming to you guys. Because originally he was supposed to pass by Corinth in order to go to northern Greece, which is Macedonia. So Corinth is actually, you have to take a boat across the Aegean Sea, which is basically the opposite way of Troas. Or there's two ways to get into Macedonia. And instead of going to Corinth to go to Macedonia, Paul decides to go to Troas. Because, as we talked before, it was such a painful visit when he had gone, so he didn't want to go to them again. And so you might be wondering what kind of insight we can draw from these two verses. And the one thing that really caught me was that how he said in verse 12, when a door was open for me in the Lord, I had no rest for my spirit. And this really made me think, because for Paul, his goal in life was to preach the gospel, was to share the message. And he says it very clearly, the door was open for me in the Lord. Like, he didn't have to do much. God gave him the opportunity to preach the gospel, and this was his goal. And yet, he didn't have peace. He couldn't find any rest in doing what he was called to do, which is a little bit weird, right? Because if this is what you've been called to do, yet you don't have peace in it, then, like, as a person, this can really hinder and shackle you. He's like, I know this is what I've been called, but I hate doing it. It's like, oh, crap. So it really made me think, you know, why wasn't he happy? You know, shouldn't he have, you know, been delighted that a door was open? And so I had kind of two revelations when I thought about this. The first doesn't really have to do with any theological meaning, but it's more so in how we read the Bible. A lot of times when we read the Bible, we can't just look at the immediate context, like let me read the verses before, the verses after. You have to read the entirety of the Bible, or in this case, you have to read the entirety of Corinthians before you actually understand why Paul was so disturbed. You really have to be able to connect the dots to other passages in the Bible, and I'll go through this as we continue. But the second revelation that I had about this was that it really showed Paul's mindset in his ministry. He could have preached the gospel. He could have, you know, just gone place to place and made you know, converted all these people from paganism or just plain from Orthodox Judaism to Christians. He could have done that, but what was really on his mind is this idea of relationship. He wasn't interested in just converting people into Christians, but he was more so interested in the Great Commission. He was interested in making disciples of Christ, because that was the purpose that God had given to him. So follow along here. So the reason why he had no rest, right? I had no rest for my spirit. Why? Because he couldn't find Titus, his brother. And the next question you would ask, like, okay, what is so important about Titus? Why did Paul need to find Titus in order to have some rest? And we find the answer, actually, in a few chapters down, in chapter 7, is verses 6 to 7. But God, who comforts the depressed, comforted us by the coming of Titus, and not only by his coming, but also by the comfort with which he was comforted in you, as he reported to us your longing, your mourning, your zeal for me, so that I rejoiced even more. So remember the journey for Paul so far? He was supposed to go to Corinth again, but he changed his mind and goes to Troas instead. And for him, he gets to see Titus. He's like, yes, I get to see my friend. You know, they're partners in Christ. They're co-laborers. Paul even wrote a letter to Titus in one of his epistles and addresses them. So he has a very tight relationship. And so for him, it's that relationship. But more so than just his relationship with Titus, it's the news that Titus was bringing. And you can see in verse 7, not only by his coming, but also by the comfort which he was comforted in you as he reported to us your longing. So the reason why Paul could not find any peace was that Titus was bringing news of what happened to the Corinthian church. Because Titus, he's saying here, Titus was carrying news about you guys. And I can't find any peace unless I hear about you guys. Unless I know you guys are okay, unless I know you guys are following in the Lord, unless I know you guys are growing spiritually, that you're growing spiritually mature. See, what I think he really deeply cared about the church in Corinth. Despite what had happened in the past, despite all the sorrow and the pain that he had experienced, he cared deeply for them, and he didn't write them off despite all their issues. He didn't write them off despite all their issues, but he wanted to know so much more about how they were doing. And it's interesting that in chapter 7, he goes, I rejoiced even more about hearing this news. Actually, when Paul went to Macedonia, where he found Titus, that's actually such an incredibly hard time for him. Because in verse 5, he writes, for even when we came into Macedonia, our flesh had no rest, but we were afflicted on every side, conflicts without and fears within. So Macedonia was such a difficult time for him, yet he rejoiced even more at the news of the Corinthian church. See, what I think God was doing in Paul, in the context of 2 Corinthians chapter 2, verses 12 to 14, is that he saw an opportunity to move on from the Corinthian church, right? He could have very easily said, okay, there's really no textual support, so I'm kind of reading into this, but it's probable, plausible, so I'll leave it with you guys here. I think what Paul was going through is he went to the Corinthian church, and there was such a huge fight between the two of them that he was saying, okay, let me just move on from these guys. These guys are Christians. Maybe I'll send Titus here, but maybe I'll just pray for them. But I won't spend so much time in relationship with them anymore because it hurts too much. I can't do this. And so he just kind of wrote them off. But I think what God was doing was he is working in his heart that even though he had this new opportunity of ministry to move on, there was something in him that wasn't quite right. And throughout Paul's processing, he realized that wait a second, it's not for me to move on. It's not my job just to move on from one place to another place, but my purpose is to develop these relationships, to help these people along, not just to create Christians, not just to convert people, but to make disciples and to walk with them in spite of all their failings, in spite of all the times that they fall down and they crumble. It is me that is here to help build them back up. And so that's why when this door opened, he had no rest, because I think God was pulling him back and saying, hey, Paul, you have some issues that I want you to work on. And only when Titus came and brought news of the Corinthian church was Paul finally relieved. He's like, oh, yes. It is because of this Corinthian church. It's not for me to move on. I have such a deep love for them. See, that's why I think one of the lessons I learned here is that open doors are not necessarily always, I don't know, the best indicators of God's guidance or leading. In some ways, open doors are like the easy way out. Because if you're looking for an open door, that makes it almost formulaic in your relationship with God. God, show me an open door. As long as there's an open door, I will take it. Right? You're setting the terms of God's guidance for you. You're the one setting the terms. This is what your guidance is going to look like, God. As long as there is an open door, then I will take it. Now, I'm not saying open doors are bad, because open doors do show you, right? Or I would venture more to say that open doors are an affirmation of God's, what are right here? Affirmations of what God has already shown you. They confirm a confirmation in a way. But basically, we shouldn't take open doors just as the only sign. It says here, Paul had an open door, and he didn't have to do anything. But yet he had no rest in his spirit. And so clearly, he had something going on in his heart that he had to deal with. And sometimes we have open doors, and we take them, right? We're like, yes, God has shown me the way. But and I know from experience, open doors sometimes are just another way for us to run away from our issues as opposed to dealing with all the stuff that we have going on. Yeah, you can leave your job, you can leave your relationships, you can leave, you know, whatever situation that you're in. But if you're not dealing with your issues are going to follow you. And if you think that going to a new circumstance that your issues are going to magically disappear, things are going to be better, that you don't have to deal with the same thing. Yeah, you're right in some way. You don't have to deal with the same person. You don't have to deal with the same thing. But this issue that you have with this person in a previous circumstance, it's just a symptom of something deeper, of a deeper root. And this root, you know, you have one root on a plant, but it has as many branches, right? So these branches are going to sprout out in other circumstances. So open doors, and be careful with them, that you not interpret them as God's way of allowing you to move forward. Right? It could be. Right? I'm not saying that it isn't, but we need to be careful and not base our decisions purely on open doors. I think that opportunities to move on come with great confidence in God, despite not knowing what your circumstances may be. There are going to be a little bit a part of yourself where you don't feel that great. There's that nervousness, and you're like, I'm not so sure. But I know I can trust in the Lord to come through. That's when I know, at least for me, that's when I know I can move on from certain things or proceed in certain situations. And so the question I have for you today is, you know, maybe if you experienced this in the past, or maybe you're going through this now, and if you're moving on without peace, perhaps God is calling you to a deeper place or to deeper issues that you have in your life. Like Paul, he had this incredible opportunity, and yet he had no peace. Because for him, God was saying, you need to get your mind right about your relationship. You need to, about your relationship with the Corinthian church. These people who you brought into the kingdom, these people who you have seen grown, don't just leave them now. And I think Paul, as he reflected and as he wrote, he could kind of give a more favorable view of what happened. So I think Paul changed his mind, and despite wanting to move on, God was calling him back. And he was able to work things out, and that's why he was able to rejoice. So I've experienced times where I've kind of done what Paul has done, and I'm like, forget these guys, you know. I'm not going to hand them over to Satan, right? But I just say, I'm not going to involve myself so much. I'm not going to give them my heart. I'm not going to give them my time. I'm not going to think about them. But yeah, I'll pray for them, you know. But my heart really isn't there. And I think in those times, God is calling me, Andrew, I think you need to examine your relationship. Or maybe examine how you think about this person. Maybe I need to learn how to forgive. Maybe I need to learn how to be gracious, trusting God's faithfulness. And this is where we get to verse 14. I think once Paul was able to get to that place, able to come to that peace, then all these other doors open. So maybe at times where we see this door opening, we're like, I want to take this, but I got to work on these issues. And so now I can't take this door, and wasted opportunity and this and that, blah, blah, blah. But you read in chapter 7, and actually later in chapter 9, Paul's ministry in Macedonia is very fruitful. The Macedonians were the ones who give this voluntary offering for the Christians in Judea. That he had this incredible opportunity, and he was able to capitalize on this opportunity despite not taking this opportunity at Troas. So that's why this is why I think he writes, but thanks be to God who always leads us in triumph in Christ and manifests through us the sweet aroma of the knowledge of him in every place. I think it's because when he got to Macedonia and he worked out his issues, that God then said, all right, now look at what you can do. That despite you not being able to take this opportunity, I am working all things for good, for my good. And God's saying to Paul, this is for my good. Not only is your heart restored, is your relationship repaired, but now you have this incredible harvest to go into in Macedonia. And so as we worship today, let's reflect. Is there, situations or circumstances that you or Holy Spirit is highlighting to you that you're running away from, or issues that you're not dealing with, or maybe times where you just don't feel peace despite that situation where you should be able to feel peace? And really ask God, what is it that you are trying to say about the situation? I've heard stories of people jumping from church to church to church, and they're like, this church didn't work out because of this. This church didn't work out because of this. This church didn't work out because of this. And I'm like, bro, maybe the issue aren't the churches, but it's you. You're like, yeah. I'm like, okay, well, what is God saying to you in this moment? Because I think he's trying to draw you into something deeper. He's trying to show you that all these are just different branches of the same root that he wants to deal with. So as we worship, let's just let Holy Spirit speak to you on that.
All these pieces broken and scattered, in mercy gathered, mended and whole. Empty-handed, but not forsaken, I've been set free. I've been set free. Amazing grace, how sweet the sound. Saved a wretch like me. Oh, I once was lost, but now I am found. Was blind, but now I see. I can see you now. Oh, I can see the love in your eyes. Laying yourself down, raising up the broken to life. You take our failure, you take our weakness, you set your treasure in jars of clay. So take this heart, Lord, I'll be your vessel, the world to see your life in me. Amazing grace, how sweet the sound that saved a wretch like me. Oh, I once was lost, but now I am found. Was blind, but now I see. Oh, I can see you now. I can see the love in your eyes. Laying yourself down, raising up the broken to life. Amazing grace. Amazing grace, how sweet the sound that saved a wretch like me. Oh, I once was lost, but now I am found. Was blind, but now I see. Oh, I can see you now. I can see the love in your eyes. Laying yourself down, raising up the broken to life.
Father, as we reflect on different circumstances in our lives, Lord, God, may you show us the deeper issues that we face, God. May you help us see, God. May you help us hear what it is you are saying to us. And just come really touch us, Lord. Help us discover what it is that we are dealing with. Why is it that we have no peace? Whether it's broken relationships or even in the way that we think of ourselves, whether it's self-esteem or confidence in who you have created us to be, Lord, may you help us discover what those issues are. Come, Lord, and reveal to us. Give us revelation, Father. Let's turn to our prayer focus for this morning. Let's pray for those in our community that have cancer and are undergoing chemo and radiation therapy. Let's pray for those who have friends and family who have yet to be saved and are sick. Let's pray for God's healing hand over them, as well as the Word of God to come into their hearts and transform their lives. Let's also lift up those in our community that are suffering from non-cancer related infirmities. Let's pray for God's healing hand and a speedy recovery for our members. Let's lift up those who are looking for jobs in our community. Let's pray for not just open doors, but deep, prayerful life with God as they seek out these opportunities. Turn to our mission focus. Let's pray for SP Singapore, SP Indonesia, SP Filipino, as well as SP New York. Let's pray for God's transforming work in all these congregations. Let's pray for our education departments, pray for the kids in Ozark, the youth group, and the college students. Let's pray that God, that all the teachers, all the students will just be moved by God as they volunteer in these ministries, as they attend these programs. Pray for our prayer and healing ministries, the IP, the well and the river. Let's pray for Matt and Rachel as they lead these ministries, that God give them strength and wisdom to lead well and to lead effectively. Let's pray for outreaches tonight, SP Lights and Homie Outreach. Let's pray for our members as they go out, that they just carry the presence of Christ with them as they minister. Let's lift up our house churches for tonight. East Bay, Olympic, Robin Hood, and Westville. Let's pray for a good discussion, a good time of prayer and ministry and fellowship amongst these house churches. Let's also pray for Hong Kong. Let's pray for all the demonstrations. Let's pray for all the protesters. And let's pray for God's peace to reign. So many different things to pray for. Let's just pray for God's sovereignty over the entire situation. Before we end, why don't we rise and we can pray the declaration, the stronghold, bringing the stronghold prayer together. Okay? One, two, three. Father God, I declare before you and your angels and before Satan and his demons that your word is true. It's always true, and I embrace it and I believe it by faith. And I declare that what is written will come to pass in spite of my circumstances. And now I do this. I come against you, Satan, and your demons, and I tell you in the name of Jesus, the word of God is true. It's a rock, and I stand on the rock. I am shaking on the rock, but the rock is not shaking under me. Listen to me, Satan. I come against this stronghold, and I pull it down, and I pull it down in the name of Jesus. I resist you today and tomorrow and for the next 15 days until you flee, because it is written, it is written, it is written, you will flee, you must flee. I will defeat you. It is written in the name of Jesus. Amen. Lord, we thank you, God. We thank you for all that you've done in our lives. We praise you. We worship you, Lord. We thank you, Lord. May you be with us today, God, and everywhere that we go. In Jesus' name we pray. Amen. Enjoy the rest of your prayer time.